Reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once, at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you lived in Galilee in the first century, so in the time around when Jesus was ministering, born, living, you may have heard about this new teacher. This teacher was going around, he was raising followers. He was opposed to the current state of affairs. He was speaking out against the Romans. He was getting in fights with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And his main message that he was preaching and teaching is that God alone is the ruler of Israel. Short time later, this leader was caught and killed by the Romans, executed. His followers dispersed. And that was it for Judas of Galilee. He became later a sort of a cautionary tale as used by the priest Gamaliel in the book of Acts when he's talking about Jesus' ministry. He says, you know, if it works out like Judas of Galilee, then we've got nothing to worry about. He's dead now and it'll just be dispersed and no problem. Turns out that actually there were a lot of people around then in the first century that were making claims to be the Messiah, the anointed one, the new king of Israel. There were a lot of people who had that expectation. We know that from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which you may know that some of the oldest copies of the scriptures that we have that were found in these caves near the Dead Sea. And the community that lived there in these caves and made these copies of the scriptures and these writings, they were called the Essenes. And they too felt like that God was the only true ruler of Israel, and that they felt like rather than sort of rebel, and that they should break away and form their own little community to be ready for the coming of the Messiah that they clearly expected was coming soon in their writings. Well, once again, the Roman troops overran them, killed them, and dispersed them. Well, into all this atmosphere of Messiah-ness comes Jesus. And Jesus is not teaching anything that isn't in Scripture. He's got a fresh interpretation on some of the Scripture, but there's no new ideas. It's all ideas that are just straight out of the Old Testament, as we call it, the Hebrew Bible, the Scriptures. And he was claiming to be the Messiah. And he was killed by Rome. His followers dispersed, just like the rest of them. Except for those one thing that he taught that was different. He taught that he would die. and be raised in 3 days. And Paul says in this writing, a few years later, maybe 20, 25, 30 years later, Paul says that this teaching is of first importance. This is the most important thing, Paul says. It's the first thing that you need to know about the good news. That Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead. He says, this is the news in which you stand as a Christian. Stand every day. And he says, this is the news through which you are being saved. This fact of the resurrection. And in fact, he goes on to talk about all the different people that saw the resurrected Christ in order to explain how the movement continued. Right? All these other movements, the same things happened. They taught new things. They claimed to be the Messiah, and the Romans killed them. That was very common. The difference is that their followers didn't pick up the message. They didn't continue on. They didn't start preaching and teaching in the temple only a few days after the death of Judas of Galilee. Yet Paul says that the reason that they continued on is because they saw the living, risen Christ. They met Jesus, resurrected from the dead, actually bodily resurrected. Not a vision in their heads, not a figment of their imagination, not a creative metaphor to talk about, you know, new life, and actually saw the risen body, mind, soul, spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul writes this, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. See, because the disciples, the apostles, Paul, they went through great suffering to continue to spread this message. Right? The message is what he's teaching is that this message is not just about sort of good morals. Right? It's not like this fresh teaching that nobody had ever heard before. They're not dedicated to a teaching. They're not dedicated to a sense of morality. They're not dedicated to the good works that they do, that they live into, but that's not what keeps them going. That's not the first and most important thing. The first, deepest, most important thing, Paul says, is this news that Jesus is risen from the dead. And if that isn't true, then he says, I'm to be pitied for teaching all this stuff that Jesus taught. Because it's not true, because he said he was going to be the Messiah, he was going to be the king and going to rise from the dead. This is what he taught. And all the rest of it is questionable if that isn't true. So it matters to Paul. It matters to the apostles. The question is, how does it matter to us, this truth of Jesus rising from the dead? Well, Paul says that it is there in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is where our hope lies. He says this, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. And all those who have died in Christ have perished. He said, there's no point. There's no point to coming on Sunday morning. There's no point in living your life a certain way. If you don't believe the truth that Jesus Christ has risen bodily, physically from the dead, that all the rest of it is futile. It's sort of acting out a play in which the main actor is a liar. No, our hope is in the resurrection. Our hope is in that all that Jesus Christ taught and said and did is true because God vindicated him by raising him from the dead. And Not only that, not only that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, but Paul says that we too have a hope and an expectation of being raised from the dead. He writes this, just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now when he talks about that, what he's talking about is, again, real, actual, bodily resurrection, just like Jesus. He writes a lot about this, but he says that Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus is the first one who experienced what all of us who have faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who have faith in his saving death, will indeed experience when Christ comes again. That Christ, who is living, will return to the earth in bodily form, just as he was living in bodily form. Remember all the stories, eating, drinking, able to be touched. That we can expect that, a real actual bodily resurrection. And Paul describes it like this. He's like, well, you're not going to have like a physical, quite the same kind of body like you have now, because you have a body now that's been corrupted. It's been corrupted by living in this world of sin, but God is going to give you a new body, and he describes it as like a seed becoming a plant. He says, you know, you have to have a seed to have a plant, right? And the plant doesn't come up out of nowhere, and it doesn't sort of not, the seed doesn't get destroyed, but the seed does transform into something new and better and more useful. The seed grows. It doesn't look like a seed anymore, but it still has the fundamental, everything that was there in the seed is still there in the plant. So with this metaphor, what we're learning is that God does care about our bodies. Our bodies today are going to be sort of the base level material for our new bodies. That there is some level of transformation that will happen, some glorification that will happen, but on sort of a fundamental level, God cares about our bodies. And so we should. Paul says that this truth about resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then therefore our expectation for resurrection, is the fundamental truth from which then, therefore, everything else flows. He writes, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He says, if you don't have this fundamental belief in the resurrection, then bodies don't really matter. Then sort of there is no hope for the future, and how, just eat, drink for tomorrow. There's only hope within the current state of your pleasure. That's the only place, the only thing that you could possibly be seeking in this life, because there is nothing to look forward to. This is what Paul says, right? This is throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. If you read that book, he's saying it's all in vanity. It's all worthless without God. And Paul, after writing this whole piece about resurrection, ends with his final verse. Therefore, he's like, all this stuff about resurrection I just taught you, about Jesus being raised, therefore you can be raised, therefore you're going to have a body, God cares about your body. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So it is that our new life, our life that is lived in Jesus Christ, must be based in the hope of the resurrection. Because it is only within that hope that we could possibly hope to live in the way that Jesus shows us and asks us to live. You see, within our world, within our life, every instinct tells us to be afraid of death, that death is kind of the worst thing that can happen. Your DNA is designed to preserve and reproduce itself, not to die. And our culture tells us this time and time again, right? You watch any sort of movie, people are always sacrificing all kinds of things in order to stay alive, right? That's sort of the theme of a lot of movies, is how kind of much you're willing to sacrifice just to stay alive. I don't watch the show a lot, but I've gotten the impression, and from talking to others, that the Walking Dead, this TV show that's very, very popular about zombies kind of wandering around and killing people, right? That the main sort of point of the show is that you lose your humanity in your effort to survive. Right? Who are the actual Walking Dead? Is it the living people who have sort of lost every shred of morality and humanity that they have simply for survival? Now, we love that kind of stuff, right? We eat it up. We went to Jesus Christ Superstar last night, and one of the things that it sort of highlights is this sense of Judas doing what he does because he doesn't understand the resurrection. Right? He betrays Jesus because he's like, look, man, you're going to get killed if you keep acting like this. And that is stupid. But the good news is that God has a life for us that's about more than survival. The good news of the resurrection is that God loves life. God isn't asking us to willy-nilly risk death for no particular reason. But God is teaching us, Jesus Christ is teaching us, that there is something that is worse than death. It's not following God's will and God's way for your life. God says, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul. Now, Jesus wants to give us a life that's more than survival, more than providing for your family, more than protecting your clan. A real life. A life that brings and enhances life in your church, in your family, in your community. A life that is able to risk even death because it knows that something is out there that is more important than death. Because we have hope in the resurrection. We have hope that this life is short, but that our life in Jesus Christ and the resurrection will last forever. And so within that hope, we can live our time on earth within the will of God, trying to build what God has set for us to build, a beloved community, the reign of God on earth, loving our neighbors. And that when it gets real, when life gets real, we believe that we will keep living even if we die. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.